This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based health care. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
All right. Hey, guys. Happy Sunday. Here we are again for another exciting episode of Wellness 101. I'm your host, TJ Williams. With me, as always, is Aaron. Have we got an exciting show for you? Aaron, why don't you let him in on what we're talking about today?
Thyroid.
Wow.
The studio audience is super excited.
Yes, they are. The thyroid, she says. Yes, we are going to talk about thyroid. We were writing this show today, and we have so much information. This may end up being two parts. We have so much to talk about. I hope we can get through it all, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you get really excited and talk really fast when you're talking about thyroid, so who knows?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, we may cram four shows into one. I'm not really sure. So the thyroid is actually kind of near and dear to Aaron. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, or do you want to talk about that later? Oh, she's like, no, I want to talk about that later.
I want you to go over. No, I'm sure that anyone listening is probably not as, you know, interested in my thyroid history as they are about how it works and what to do if it isn't working properly.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so thyroid conditions. So all things thyroid today, they're extremely common health concerns. And really and truly, it affects predominantly women. I want to stop here, though. And I want all the men who are out there listening to listen up. If you're having cholesterol issues, and I know this doesn't sound like it's going to make any sense at all, but if you're having cholesterol issues and your doctor wants to put you on a statin medication, guess what? This guy needs to be checking your thyroid function. Okay? This is important. And I want all you guys to pay attention and stay tuned, because in a little while, we're actually going to talk about why this is important. Okay? It's intriguing, I know. Aaron is off on the edge of her seat, intrigued.
Well, I think that a lot of people think of thyroid as being, you know, thyroid issues being just women,
right?
And it's not.
Right. It's much more common to be in women, but it's definitely not. I actually know of several guys who are on thyroid medication, so it affects guys too. All right. So let's get back into the thyroid. So the thyroid makes thyroid hormones, and we're going to talk about the individual hormones in a minute. But I want to take a second and talk about how many things that thyroid hormone directly affects, okay? So thyroid is just huge, okay? It acts on the brain. It affects the cardiovascular system, the digestive system, bone metabolism, red blood cell metabolism, gallbladder function, liver function, steroid hormone production. And steroid hormones are things like testosterone and estrogen. It affects metabolism, how we burn sugar, fat, cholesterol, and protein, and it also regulates body temperature.
So basically everything.
Yeah, pretty much everything. It's an enormous list, right? And the fact that it affects everything is how we have people who can show up at a doctor's office with huge, vast differences in symptoms. Things like weight gain, depression, infertility, high cholesterol even. Right. And we're going to tie this cholesterol back in. Broken bones, just randomly broken bones and, you know, early onset osteoporosis can be thyroid function. And then even hair loss. So what ends up happening is people are chasing all these symptoms. And they're like, well, I've got this symptom, so I got to go to this guy. I got this symptom. I got to go to this guy. Well, there may be just one underlying thing that's going on, and it could be the thyroid. So anyway, it's a doctor and patient nightmare. Okay. Patients out there, my experience, they want one thing to fix their problem, right? We have been trained in this country that there's a pill for a problem. No matter what the problem is, there's a pill for it. If you got this problem, problem X, you take pill A. If you've got, you know, problem Y, you take pill 2. That's just, unfortunately, that's not going to work, right? So what we have is we have conventional medicine prescribing thyroid medications, all right? They like to prescribe Synthroid or levothyroxine. And they're being prescribed at unprecedented levels. We're going to talk a little bit more in a bit, but Synthroid is the number one prescribed medication in the country. That's, okay, that's just staggering. It blows my mind. And if you're out there listening and you're not your mind's not blown, well, I'm sorry. I'm excited about it. But on the flip side, okay, so you have conventional medicine out there prescribing Synthroid or levothyroxine. On the other side, you have alternative, integrative type doctors, non-conventional, typically giving iodine, right? So there's this iodine connection with thyroid. And so the suggestion is that if we don't have enough iodine, there's no possible way that our thyroid can function properly. And that absolutely may be true, right? So we've got conventional doctors doing pill for a problem, and we've got alternative type doctors doing pill for a problem. Neither of which is really going to work, right? Neither approach is going to actually help. It may help short term, but long term, it's going to create a lot more problems. So what you need out there is someone in your corner that understands the thyroid, how it interacts throughout the body, and what's actually needed to improve thyroid function. Okay? Does that make sense? Aaron, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It makes sense to me, too. You got to have somebody in your corner. All right. So there's a lot of research out there on thyroid function and thyroid problems. So I went looking online to get some stats and facts and figures and things like that. According to thyroid.org, all right, there are 20 million Americans with some form of thyroid disease. Okay, so let's put this into perspective. And not downplaying anything. I use this example as a perspective many, many times, right? There are 14 million people that currently have some form of cancer in this country. So there are 20 million that have thyroid disease. So that means that there's 50% more people that have thyroid disease than have cancer, okay? And we all know someone affected by cancer. So if that premise is true, and we all know someone is affected by cancer, and there's less people with cancer, then we also know someone who is affected by thyroid disease, okay? Some researchers out there actually think that that up to 40% of the U.S. population actually has what's considered suboptimal thyroid function, okay? So 40%, there's like 350 million people, so it's what, 140, 150 million-ish people out there have suboptimal functioning thyroid, okay? Now, I can honestly say right here, when I look at thyroid function at the Institute of Natural Health, at my clinic, right, more than half the people have suboptimal thyroid function, right? We have to look at all the pieces of the thyroid puzzle, and that's what comes back, is their thyroids aren't functioning well. But a growing number of them actually have autoimmune thyroid disease. Okay, now we're going to talk about autoimmune thyroid disease a little bit more in a little bit, but this is impressive because most of these people come in, we sit down and we talk and figure out what's going on and listen to their complaints and listen to their concerns and answer all their questions. And a lot of people tell me in the very first visit with us that they don't have thyroid problems, that their doctor's checked and they don't have thyroid problems. And actually, you know, they're either A, they have thyroid issues and they think everything that's going on in their body is a thyroid problem, which it very well could be. But on the other side is they say, no, I don't actually have any thyroid. My doctor just checked and I've never had any thyroid issues. And I find that to not be the case. We find a lot of people actually have suboptimally functioning thyroids.
So is that an issue with them running different tests than you are, or do you want to see a better number than the doctors are actually looking for? I'm wondering, is this about, okay, well, you're within the medical range of what, you know, is considered normal, but actually you aren't what's ideal, or is this a completely, do you run a completely different test?
That's a great question. It's actually yes to both. Okay, so yes, we run different tests, and yes, we are looking at optimally functioning numbers. So there are optimal ranges that are a little narrower, a little tighter than normal that we're looking at. So it shortens up like where someone should really truly be for the best functioning thyroid that they could have. But oftentimes we find people that have had a thyroid, a quote, thyroid panel, they come in with their TSH tested. So that's thyroid stimulating hormone. This is a brain hormone, all right? They've had that tested, and maybe they've had T4, which is one of your thyroid hormones. It's called thyroxine. But they've missed all the rest of the test. There are a lot more pieces to that thyroid puzzle. There's, on top of those two, there's free T3, there's total T3, there's reverse T3. There's T3 uptake. There's thyroid peroxidase antibodies. There's thyroglobulin antibodies. There are a lot of pieces to this puzzle, and all of them need to be looked at to actually figure out what's going on. Because how can you expect 100% of the information if you're only running, 20% of the test? Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question, but I'm thinking maybe we should step back a second and can you explain kind of how the thyroid works or how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, so the thyroid is a butterfly-shaped gland right in front of the neck, okay? It's right around where the Adam's apple would be located in a guy. I know, ladies, you guys don't have Adam's apples, but if you were to make like a universal I'm choking signal and put your hands up to your throat, you're basically putting your hand right over the thyroid, okay? So the thyroid's job is to produce three different types of hormones. It makes T2, which is also known as diiodothreonine, which we really truly don't know a lot about, but there's a lot of research going on about this. It makes T3, which is triiodothreonine, and then it makes T4, which is thyroxine, okay? These hormones interact with every other hormone in your body. It interacts with things like insulin and cortisol, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, right? All of these hormones have to talk, and they have to get along with each other, okay? So this is why when the thyroid isn't working properly, it can actually mess up a whole bunch of other things, right? This is also how we know that the thyroid has been linked to other conditions. And so things like fibromyalgia, maybe a thyroid issue, irritable bowel syndrome, maybe thyroid involvement, acne, eczema, gum disease, infertility, autoimmune disease, all of these things can have a thyroid link. And this is the main reason why we care so much about a properly functioning thyroid. We don't want to have our thyroid, when we look at it, we don't want to have the numbers just inside, barely inside normal ranges. We need them in optimal ranges, because if they're right on the edge, it doesn't take a lot to tip you over the cliff, and we've got big issues.
Okay, so I guess my question with that is, you've named a number of conditions that seem fairly common. If you have one of these conditions, do you need to make sure that your thyroid is checked? Or is it if you've been told you have a thyroid problem, you need to be aware that you could be more prone to things like acne and eczema?
That's a good question. And yes to both. If you have these things, we need to have our thyroid checked. The thyroid, we talked earlier about all the things that thyroid affects. It affects pretty much everything in the body, every process. So we need to know if it's working properly. But again, if we have some other conditions, maybe along the way, someone has acne and they've never really thought about having their thyroid checked. And then they get their thyroid checked and their thyroid's all out of whack, right? So we got to test both directions.
Or they've been checked by their doctor and told that their thyroid is functioning properly.
Right, because they didn't test everything.
Right.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get back into thyroid hormones, and we're also going to touch on that cholesterol stuff. You're listening to Wellness 101.
Wellness 101.
Hey guys, welcome back. Today we are talking about all things thyroid. We were just talking before the break about how the thyroid affects everything in the body, cardiovascular system, digestive system, bone stuff, metabolism, pretty much everything that goes on, and how it's linked to a lot of different conditions, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel, acne, eczema, etc. And we said that when we came back, we were going to start talking about thyroid hormones, and then we were going to tie in this cholesterol link to thyroid function. So the thyroid makes three hormones, T2, T3, and T4. We were just talking about those. 90% of what it makes is T4, okay? So it makes this thyroxine. So thyroxine travels around the body after your thyroid makes it, and it ends up basically in the liver, where it gets converted into T3. And this conversion is important because T3 is the active thyroid hormone. It's actually what we use the most, okay? But it's not just converted in the liver. It's also converted in the gut. It's converted in skeletal muscle. It's converted in the brain. And it's even converted in the thyroid gland itself, okay? So if everything is working perfectly in your body and everything is going as it should, okay, you will have the right amounts of T4 and T3. Your brain is monitoring this stuff in your blood, and your brain is telling your thyroid how much to make. And then your body is actually converting this stuff into the right amounts.
So I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
So T4... should all be converted into T3?
It won't all be converted, but a big chunk of it gets converted, yes.
Okay. All right. So your body kind of knows how much to convert?
Right, because your brain is constantly monitoring. So it's like you always have have someone monitoring the activity and what's going on, and it'll actually tell the brain will actually tell your body, hey, we need to make more, we need to make less. And you regulate that by either making more or less T4. Right. So okay. We convert everything. And so then our brain is measuring the T3 levels mostly. And if T3 gets too high, our brain tells our thyroid, hey, don't make as much. And so we don't make as much. And if we don't have enough T3, our brain says, hey, we don't have enough. I need you, thyroid, to make more thyroid hormone. And so our thyroid will then make more if it's working properly.
And that's how TSH raises.
And that's how TSH goes up. TSH is like a volume knob for our thyroid. So when our brain is talking to our thyroid, it's basically talking using TSH. So if we have very little TSH, that's our brain whispering to our thyroid to not make very much. But if our TSH is really high, that's our brain screaming at our thyroid saying, make more hormones. Right? Does that make sense?
It does. And I know you're going to get into this a little later, but then I guess that's where there could be a problem going from T4 to T3.
Yes, it could be a conversion issue. So a lot of times that's what we actually see. We see normal levels in my office. I see normal levels of TSH or slightly higher than normal levels of TSH. Normal levels of T4, and then very, very, very bottom end of the normal range of T3. So we have a conversion issue. Our thyroid is making the hormone properly, but our body isn't converting it. And there are a lot of things that are involved in conversion. There's a lot of nutrients that are involved and some enzyme activity that's involved in converting this stuff. And if it's not converting properly, we got to fix that. Just taking a medication or taking iodine to tell our body that our thyroid needs to function better, that's not the answer. The answer is fix the conversion issue. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So I forget where I was. What were we talking about? Your body having the right amounts of T4 and T3. So T3, okay? T3 tells your DNA, and we all know what DNA is. It's the stuff that makes us who we are, okay? To speed up your metabolism by telling it to burn fat, okay? T3 gets affected by nutritional imbalances, toxins, allergens, infections, stress. This all plays into conversion.
And so T3 is the form that our body actually uses?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we use. That's the most active form.
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that T4 goes into T3. I always have to remind myself of that because it seems like T3 would go to T4.
Right, because that makes more sense if you think about it. But really, if you think about it, it's four iodines in a row, and we're cutting one of them off. And that's the active part. So we're taking one off. We're making it a smaller molecule.
I see.
All right. So earlier, the very first segment, we talked about cholesterol, okay, and thyroid function. Here's where I'm going to dive into this, because we just talked about how T3 tells your DNA to speed up metabolism by telling it to burn fat. So if your cholesterol is elevated, you may really have a thyroid problem. All right, listen up, guys. If your cholesterol is elevated, you may have a thyroid problem. One of the thyroid hormones, T3, helps our bodies burn fat as fuel. So it is possible that if your cholesterol is elevated, that it's not a cholesterol problem at all. It could be a thyroid problem. Now, putting someone who has an elevated level of cholesterol, because they have a thyroid problem, on a statin medication can be disastrous. Does that make sense?
No. Why?
Because it's not an overproduction of cholesterol. It's an underproduction of a thyroid hormone. So we're causing our bodies then to make less cholesterol when we never address the thyroid issue.
I guess I'm not understanding how it's connected. Why would the thyroid not functioning properly affect our cholesterol level?
Because T3 actually tells our DNA to burn more fat as fuel, so we will burn through cholesterol faster.
But then wouldn't cholesterol be lower?
Not if we have a problem converting T4 into T3. So we have less T3. If we have suboptimal levels of T3, we will have suboptimal fat burning. This is how we get weight gain. This is how we get high levels of cholesterol.
Okay. So you don't have enough of the active form of the thyroid hormone?
Correct.
So then you aren't burning through the cholesterol as fast as you should be?
Correct. And then to top it all off, one of the side effects of statin medications is actually lowering TSH levels. And it does that without affecting your thyroid hormone levels. I'm not really sure the mechanism there. I don't really understand it, but that's a side effect. And I do know that a lot of doctors out there, because their patients bring their labs to me, they'll run a TSH if they're putting them on a statin medication because they know that it's going to lower. They want a baseline to figure out, okay, they lowered it, but everything seems fine. But they didn't run the active components of this. So they're missing a little bit, in my opinion.
So statins will lower the TSH. I'm trying to make sure that I understand.
Sure.
So you don't have enough T3, the active form of the thyroid, so then your cholesterol is higher because you're not burning through it as fast.
Correct.
And then they put you on a statin. It lowers your TSH, so then you're producing less thyroid hormone.
Actually, it does it without affecting thyroid hormone production.
You did say that. Okay.
So it's kind of weird. It's a little conundrum that these people get into. And so since we just look at TSH now as if someone's on a statin as a side effect of statin medication, well, we never looked at the hormones. No one actually ever looks at T3 total and T3 free to see what's going on. And they don't look at what the ratio of T4 to T3 is to see if it's a conversion issue, to find out if it's a problem actually with the thyroid and not making enough stuff or the body not converting.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, normally if they would say, let me make sure the thyroid is functioning properly, they would look at TSH, and if you didn't have enough T3, it would be high, right? Because it'd be telling your body to produce more thyroid hormone because you don't have enough?
Yes.
But then by going on the statin, it's lowering it, so your TSH is going to look normal, even though if the body was functioning properly, it would be raising because it'd be trying to fix itself?
Correct.
Okay.
It's like putting a governor on a car for all you guys out there. It's putting a governor on the car so it can't go faster. And we need to be able to go faster.
Because your body wants to fix itself.
Right. And this is how we end up with guys that have crazy thyroid problems later in life because they thought initially, well, I just have a high cholesterol. And yeah, high cholesterol can be a problem. But we missed what was actually causing the high cholesterol.
Right. And statins are prescribed fairly commonly.
Yes. Right? Actually, the number two prescribed medication, we said the number one prescribed medication was levothyroxine. The number two prescribed medication, according to WebMD, is Crestor, rosuvastatin, which is a statin medication. So number one and number two could be linked together somehow. So I just find that interesting. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about hypothyroidism, what it looks like, what it means, and then we're going to get into this crazy autoimmune hypothyroid. This is Wellness 101.
Is Wellness 101.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about all things thyroid today. When we left off, we were talking about how it's possible that people who have cardiovascular issues, specifically high levels of cholesterol, could have a thyroid thing. Who knew? I mean, it's pretty interesting. All right, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about hypothyroidism, what it looks like, and the autoimmunity associated with hypothyroidism. So I want to talk a little bit. We're shifting gears. I just looked at Aaron halfway through the break here. I'm like, okay, I want to shift gears. I want to move to this topic. Symptoms. For all of you people out there who are wondering, okay, could this be hypothyroidism? Let's talk about some symptoms. The biggest one that I hear at the clinic, at the Institute, is fatigue. Just straight out tired, lack of energy, exhausted, pick it. That's what the big complaint is. Doc, I'm exhausted. Can you help me? I don't know what's wrong. Can you help me? I think it may be my thyroid. I don't know. Or they say, my doctor has checked and it's not my thyroid, but I'm still exhausted. Well, guess what? We're going to look deeper. We're going to figure that out. Obvious signs of this fatigue, this level of fatigue that we're talking about, is one, not having enough energy to exercise. Two, being so tired in the afternoon that all you want to do is put your head down and take a nap. Or three, something like maybe falling asleep when you don't have anything else to do and you just sit down and next thing you know, it's 2 hours later because you fell asleep. I think we've all kind of been there, but it's not necessarily thyroid issues for me. But another one that's huge is brain fog. Lots and lots of people will complain about fuzzy thinking. I just can't think straight. I'm confused. I'm not really sure. I don't feel like myself. It drives people nuts when they can't come up with words. They can't come up with names. They just feel like their brain is not functioning. A third one is constipation. Lots of people are constipated. I ask in our patient visits, I ask, you know, what's your bathroom habits? What is it like for you? If you're constipated, you can't get rid of waste and toxins. So that screws up all kinds of things. Some other things that happen, weight gain. Either you can gain weight very easily or you have a lot of difficulty losing weight, okay? Skin. People with thyroid issues have skin problems. It causes your skin to be rough, scaly, dry. Causes hair to be dry and coarse. A lot of women will come in and say, you know what? I've got these changes to my hair. It's really dry. It's really coarse. It's thin. It breaks. Go ahead. You had a question.
Well, I'm just thinking it's so confusing because so many of the symptoms that you're listing are ones that we associate with getting older. So I'm just, it makes sense to me that maybe someone, and I had a thyroid issue when I was, you know, barely 30. So it really kind of was obvious that I had these changes. But what about people who are in their, you know, late 40s to 50s, I mean, to 60s, you kind of think that you're going to start, you know, maybe gaining a little weight, maybe you're going to be more tired. So how do they actually even see it as an issue?
That's a very good question. We could talk about that for hours. So in my opinion, aging is not falling apart in pieces like this. It's not, oh, now I'm constipated. I just must be getting older. Oh, my body aches. I must be getting older. I'm tired all the time. Oh, I must be getting older. That's not how we're supposed to age. We're supposed to age gracefully, with all of our parts functioning. When we pass away, it's supposed to happen when we're sometime past 100, and we're supposed to go in our sleep. We're not supposed to go taking 14, 15 medications in a hospital in our 70s. That just baffles me that someone wants to say, well, I'm 40 years old and I'm tired and I feel bad. Well, I'm 40 years old and I'm not tired and I don't feel bad.
Well, and I understand that, but I'm also thinking this generally affects women, and a lot of women who are, you know, 40 have young children and they have just had children. I mean, you know, like, so maybe I just see that this could make sense as far as, okay, I've gained a little weight because
Sure.
I
get what you're saying.
Or I'm tired because I am taking care of children.
I get that. So, and I'm not trying to discredit that at all. I completely understand. Yeah, if you're running around chasing down, you know, kiddos and stuff like that, yeah, it can be exhausting. But if that's the case and doing that is a normal routine for you and every day you're getting more and more tired, you're basically emptying the tank. So let's go back and figure out, why am I so tired throughout the day? Am I eating enough protein? Am I getting enough water? Am I getting quality sleep? You know, there are other things that can be going on. Is my thyroid actually functioning the way it's supposed to?
Right. And well, in a lot of ways, I guess I'm thinking this is sort of a ray of hope for those people who just think, oh, well, this is what my life is now.
Right. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Right? You can have more energy than you thought was possible. And I think that a lot of people out there don't really realize how drained they truly are because it's been a slow onset. They
right.
don't realize how good they could actually feel.
Right. So. And because of these changes, because, you know, they are now, you know, if they're taking care of children or they, you know, are, they don't have enough time to spend on themselves to exercise. So they kind of expect some of these changes when maybe they don't have to.
Right. That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself. All right. So there's some other things that go on with that make us think thyroid could be an issue. One of those is decreased sex drive. I actually asked this is part of my questionnaire when you come to visit us, is, you know, how's your sexual desire? Is it as it was or is it less? I am baffled and amazed by the number of people, men and women both, in their as early as 20s all the way through, you know, 80s and 90s that will say that they have a decreased sex drive. And I actually flat out ask, am I okay? Why do you think that you have a decreased sex drive? Sometimes it's time. You know, I get that. You know, they just don't have the time. But other times they'll look at me and say, I don't know. I just don't have the desire. Okay, that's a big red flag in my book because it shouldn't. Your sex drive should not drop off like that.
Right. Well,
it just shouldn't.
And I guess, you know, with you saying time and if it's a stress issue, then thyroid might still be a problem because stress
Definitely.
Can affect your thyroid.
Right.
So it still kind of seems to connect back to a potential thyroid problem.
That's exactly right. Stress causes your adrenal glands to start pumping out all these hormones. And if your adrenal glands are constantly pumping out hormones that are all interacting with thyroid hormones, yeah, you're going to create an issue. It's not a pill for a problem fix. That's what hopefully that's the point that I'm getting across, that this is bigger than a pill for a problem fix. If your answer is take a pill for the rest of your life for your thyroid, go get a different answer because that's not going to help you. All right. So another one is another sign or symptom of having a hypothyroid condition is low body temperature, being cold all the time. Now, there are specific thermometers out there. They're basal body temperature. Basal body temperature thermometers that are different than normal thermometers that can actually measure your basal temperature. And if that number is below 97.6 degrees, you have a low basal body temperature. So you better start looking into figuring out what's going on with your thyroid just to make sure that it's not a thyroid issue.
Right.
But it likely will be.
Well, and sensitivity to cold also, right?
Yes, because you're colder.
Because, yeah.
That makes perfect sense. And then another thing is, if you've got someone in your family that has things like a goiter or diabetes or MS or rheumatoid arthritis or Sjogren's or any autoimmune condition, you're at an increased risk of having a thyroid problem and a low thyroid function, okay? Now, I want to make a jump, and I want to start talking about Hashimoto's. Hashimoto's is autoimmune thyroid, okay? Autoimmune thyroid is when our immune system gets really mad at our thyroid and starts attacking it and trying to kill it, okay? Now, what's interesting here is that research actually shows that 90% of hypothyroid patients actually have an autoimmune cause of their decreased thyroid function. I've got the research article for that. I'll put it up on our Facebook. But that is a staggering number. 20 million people out there, 90% of them, that would be 18 million of them, would be autoimmune in nature. So
is this diagnosed? I mean, is that 90% of people who have hypothyroid have been diagnosed with Hashimoto's?
No, most of them have not. That's the problem. No one's looking. They're just like, oh, your thyroid's not functioning as well as it should. It's low functioning. So we're going to put you on this medication and we're not even going to do anything other than just monitor that. Okay. Just that TSH level. There's checking.
Because, and that's my impression, is that those who get diagnosed with Hashimoto's a lot of times are those who are persistent and who are saying,
right,
I understand you've diagnosed me with hypothyroidism. I am not getting better on this medication.
Right. You're exactly right. All right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Hashimoto's and autoimmune thyroid. This is Wellness 101. Somebody save your soul, because you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles. All these lovers got you losing control. You like a drug to me, a luxury, my sugar and gold. I want the good life.
This is Wellness 101.
All right, welcome back. Today we are talking about the thyroid. It's been an exciting, exciting day. All things thyroid. Gotta love it.
Okay, before we get back into, I know we were talking about autoimmune thyroid and Hashimoto's. Can we talk about what hypothyroidism is?
Yes.
Quickly, because we don't have a whole lot of time left. And
yes.
We have a lot more information.
Hypothyroidism is when the thyroid, by definition, is when the thyroid is not producing enough thyroid hormone. So it's just not making enough.
Okay. But can't there also be a conversion problem?
There can. And that's where a lot of the issues show up, is it's a conversion, right? So a lot of doctors think that if your TSH is within normal limits, that your thyroid is fine. Or if your TSH is high, it's screaming at your thyroid. Your brain is screaming at your thyroid to make more thyroid hormone because your thyroid isn't functioning enough.
So if your thyroid, if your TSH is normal, then your T3, the active form, must be normal. Because if it wasn't,
that's the assumption.
Your TSH would raise.
Correct. Okay. That's the assumption. And it's a bad assumption because that doesn't really happen that way. Because TSH, it's not even a thyroid hormone. It's a brain hormone secreted by the pituitary in response to your brain monitoring thyroid hormone levels, right? If the brain senses you don't have enough T3, it says, hey, thyroid, we need to make more. And it says this with the TSH. This is where it's yelling. Remember, we talked about that earlier. It can whisper and you don't need to make as much, but it can yell sometimes when you're not making enough. So if your TSH increases, it's like your brain yelling to make more thyroid hormones. But unfortunately, TSH just isn't reliable. You've got to have all the pieces of the thyroid puzzle looked at. You've got to test free T3 and total T3 and reverse T3 and T3 uptake and T4 free and T4 total. And then your antibodies. There's two antibodies that need to be tested as well. We've got to look at this. I've had several people that have come into the office. They've got normal levels of TSH. And at the same time, they have this autoimmune thyroid disease, which is what we were talking about right before break.
Right. Which is actually what had happened with me. And long before I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, I had doctors test my TSH a million times, and it kept coming back normal. And finally, after begging and pleading that they do more, they look at it, you know, closer, they run some more tests, I was told that, you know, they looked at it. My T3 was
low.
Was a little low.
Yep.
But, and then they did my TSH and my T4, and they were like, you're all fine. But then now looking back, you can see that, okay, there's a wide range with TSH. So my TSH was at the very high range of what is medically normal, while my T3 was at the low range. And so it basically was my body was working really hard to get, you know, barely enough T3. So
right.
There was a problem with conversion.
It's like driving your car in first gear. You're working really hard to go very slow.
Yeah. And I would guess that your body can't sustain that for very long.
Right. And what happens then is that starts triggering. That could be a trigger for autoimmunity. And so when autoimmunity is present, a lot of things have to take place. So I just want to stress upon the listeners out there that just because your thyroid function is, quote, normal, doesn't mean that if you're having symptoms that you don't have autoimmune thyroid. I mean, we just said before the break that 90% of hypothyroid patients actually have an autoimmune cause. Well, there are people that have normal levels of TSH and, quote, normal thyroid function that have an autoimmune cause. So once it's identified, if you have autoimmunity, there's steps that got to be done. You have to take some steps to start addressing this, right? Most of the time, if I tell someone, hey, you've got autoimmune thyroid, it is mind-blowing. They're like, just baffled. What do I do with this? And then we start mapping everything out. This is what it looks like going forward. Some people want to do it, some people don't. And the people that don't, okay, that's fine. It's your choice. But these are the consequences that are going to happen. And when you decide that, you know, those consequences have become so much that you want to finally start fixing them, well, I'll be here and we'll help.
Okay, so you're going, say someone has a problem, what things are you actually looking at? Because I'm sure, you know, listeners out there are like, what things can I actually do to help my thyroid?
Yeah, so if you have autoimmune thyroid, you've got to have food sensitivity testing done, because we've got to figure out what foods are making your immune system mad. Because the one thing that we do day in and day out that can make our immune system mad is eat foods that we're sensitive to, just triggers an immune reaction and creates a problem. We need to find out if we have underlying causes of inflammation. We need to find out if we have nutrient deficiencies. You know, sometimes this inflammation is caused because we are missing a nutrient, not because we have too much of something, right? We're trained to think that, you know, in that line of thinking that, if we have it, it's because we have too much of something, not because we don't have enough of something. And that's not really truly the case, right? And with these people that have no symptoms and no signs of thyroid dysfunction that end up having autoimmune, we're just trained as a society that if you don't have a symptom, you don't have a problem. But that's not really the case. I don't understand it. Why are we not being more proactive? Why are we not checking a lot more things? I mean, dentists got it right when they got people to come in a couple times a year to get a checkup, right? They can identify a cavity in your tooth long before you actually have any symptoms of having a cavity, or long before that tooth falls out. They've identified it much earlier. Well, we can identify these things much earlier with health too, but we're just not there. And I don't understand why we want to drive down healthcare costs. Start getting preventive. Start actually testing and figuring things out. Don't let something become full blown crazy thyroid problems that, you know, and then you have to spend thousands of dollars and going to tens of, if not more, doctors to figure out that you have a thyroid problem. You yourself said, you told me multiple times, I had to go to all these different doctors and I was begging them to run the test and no one would run the test.
Yeah, I was a complainer,
right.
Which is why I finally got a diagnosis.
Right.
But I knew how to fix it. So people out there, whether they have symptoms or they don't have symptoms and they're just concerned about it, what would you tell them to do?
Get it checked. What's the worst that can happen? If everything is functioning fine and everything is going the way it's supposed to, you get a clear bill. And okay, great. Awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. Everything is working great. And if it's not, well, guess what? Now you know. It's always better to know.
Because you can fix it?
Because you can start addressing it. That's exactly right.
Okay. So these are poorly functioning thyroid is something that can be helped?
Yeah, it absolutely can be helped.
Without medication?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay.
It's possible. I know it baffles minds that the body can actually heal itself, but it can. It's amazing if you give it what it needs, if you give it the nutrients that it needs, if you give it the rest that it needs, if you get some exercise. All of these things play a big role. If you keep your stress levels to a minimum, there are a lot of things that you can do to help minimize long-term health consequences. And guess what? If you do all of those things, you're going to be healthier overall, not just with thyroid function, but overall in general health.
Right. But by testing someone with their thyroid, you can tell them and, you know, I guess other things, you can tell them specifically what will help them, right? This isn't just they're going to find out there's a thyroid problem and you're going to tell them okay, eat more vegetables and
right.
go exercise and get enough sleep.
That's exactly right. If there's an issue, if it's a conversion issue, we start going and looking at the tissues that do the converting. You know, let's see what your gut function is. Let's see what how your liver is functioning. Let's see how all of these different things in your body are working. Are they working together? Are they working well? And if they're not, we address those issues and we monitor that thyroid function to make sure that things are going the way they're supposed to be.
Okay, and ultimately it can be fixed.
Ultimately it can fix itself. The body has an innate, built-in desire to be healthy and well. It does not want to be sick. Our body is not trying to be sick. We want to be healthy. Our body will do everything it can. It will rob Peter to pay Paul to keep you healthy. I hope that sinks in. We will try. Our body will do its best. All right. Well, we've got to wrap up today. What did we learn? We learned about the thyroid. We learned it's involved with a lot of stuff. We learned that we've got to really start paying attention to it. Go get it checked out. Get your entire thyroid looked at, right? Be proactive, okay? All right, that's all the time we've got for today. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. If you want more information, visit us on our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can find us, follow us on social media. Call us, 314-293-8123. If you've got questions or comments, send them. We love to hear from you. Until next week, this has been Wellness 101, your source for common sense, science-based strategies for a healthy life.